This is a Crestview Bible podcast. For more information, visit crestviewhutch.org.
Since we've already talked about in our service today, welcome to the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a term that we throw around in church life. Maybe you've heard that your whole life and don't know what it means, or maybe you do. Advent is a term that comes from a Latin word that means coming or arrival. And so what we're doing in the season of Advent is a time when the church, the global church, has traditionally taken time to look with longing towards Jesus' coming. So Jesus' coming, we're putting ourselves in the place of first century people who are longing for all these promises to come true and what that meant. And we're also putting ourselves in the place of where we're at, longing for Jesus to come again. So we're looking back on all that he's done in his life, death, and resurrection, and we're also anticipating his coming kingdom, and that's what Advent's all about, Charlie Brown. So I guess we can go home. That's what this is all about. Now this year, most of you know that Christmas is my favorite time of year, and it's not just because the weather is finally conducive for what I like to do outside. That's part of it. This is optimal weather for me. Lows right around freezing and highs in the upper 40s. It's about right for me. But we're also, it's also just all the nostalgia, all of it I love. And then also, I just love Jesus. I love his coming to earth. I love all that means for me. So this year, we've chosen to do a series around the famous Christmas carol that we've already sung, O Come, Emmanuel. It's a song that maybe you've grown up singing in church, and we just want to use that to kind of springboard into the scriptures to think about Jesus coming for us. So there's a famous poet in the Christian world named Malcolm Guite, G-U-I-T-E, and he's expressed the longing for Advent in verse form. So here's the poem he wrote for that, related to O Come, Emmanuel. He says, O come, and be our God with us. O long-sought withness for a world without. O secret seed, O hidden spring of light. Come to us, wisdom, come unspoken name. Come root and key and king and holy flame. O quickened little wick, so tightly curled. Be folded with us into time and place. Unfold for us the mystery of grace. And make a womb of all this wounded world. O heart of heaven beating in the earth, O tiny hope within our hopelessness, come to be born, to bear us to our birth, to touch a dying world with new-made hands, and make these rags of time our swaddling bands. Poetry is one of those things that it's so beautiful when it's read. And what he's saying there is this longing that we have for Jesus to come. That's what's driven deep within us. So as we prepare to step into this song for a few weeks, we have really 5 weeks, 4 weeks of Advent, and then 1 week, Christmas Day is on a Sunday this year. We're going to think through all these things. This hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, comes from the Middle Ages to us. It's a musical form where during the season of Advent, a verse would be sung back and forth among the congregation. Like we would say sometimes on a song like, hey, would all the guys sing their verse? And then girls echo. That's kind of what's going on. One side of the congregation singing this, another side's answering, and it's a beautiful thing. And that final chorus, remember, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. God is surely going to bring these things to pass. In the verses of this song, we have all these longings for the Messiah to come, that he would come and ransom, that he would come and save, that he would come and cheer, that he would come and guide, that he would come and bring peace to this world. All these longings for the Messiah, not just to show up, but to do something in our world. But it's also centered in the Messiah himself, right? So he's called Emmanuel. He's called the Dayspring. Which day springs like the morning sunrise. He's called that. Wisdom, he's called wisdom. He's the true knowledge. He's the embodiment of wisdom. He's called the desire of nations. He's the king. He's the root of Jesse. He's the key of David. All these things are put together then in this hymn so wonderfully, so that we can marvel at the mystery of Jesus coming into our world to actually affect something, to change something. He was born as a human to engage and to affect something in our world. And so surely all the hopes and fears of all the years were met in him the night he was born. Everything was longing for him to come. Everything was prepping for him to come, and he was coming to actually do something. So as we step into the Advent season, and I know some of you haven't even put your trees up yet. That's fine. I mean, I had mine up on Halloween, so I get it. What are your longings as you step into the season? What do you long for? And by that I mean, how do you hope God comes through for you? What's your desperation for him? What are you longing for him to do? Now, for some of us, all we want for Christmas is our two front teeth. And by that I mean, it's hard for us to translate our life in the here and now to spiritual realities. So we just want, could you give me a good parking spot when I go to shop at Walmart this weekend? That's the kind of stuff that we're longing for. But I'm saying deep down, like if you knew that God himself was going to step onto this world, what would you be longing for him to do? What would be the yearning of your heart? Might it be like, God, heal my marriage? Or God, get this sin out of my life? Or God, this family member is hurting so bad. Would you care for them? Or God, this person's been in agony for so long. Would you come near to them? What were the spiritual longings? I want you to do that this season. I want you to take some time and space and consider, what if all of God's promises are true? Like, what if Jesus actually coming to earth was meant to change things? What would your longing be? To allude to C.S. Lewis in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, what was so horrible about Narnia at that time was that it was always winter and never Christmas. So what if God broke through and broke through the winter to bring Christmas? What would you want him to bring? What are you longing for him to bring? What if he came into your life in more profound ways? That's what the longing of Advent's about. So look to him and find him as one who's able, like we've sang this morning, satisfy with joy every longing heart. I mean, all the longings that we have in our hearts, he's able to satisfy those. He's able to come near and change us. So I invite you to join me as we press into three longings for Advent. And I want us to think about the first verse of that hymn, and then I'll read a scripture passage. The first verse. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. And then let's read Matthew 20, 20 through 28. So we read an interesting story here that connects to this hymn. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" And she said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "You don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm able to drink?" And they said to him, "We are able." And he said to them, "You will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left is not for mine to grant, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And when the 10 heard about it, they were indignant at the two brothers, presumably because they beat them to the punch, right? And Jesus called to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles, the rulers of the nations, they lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is God's word. Thanks be to God. So three longings for Advent, and these will be quick, three longings. And the first longing is real simply, we long for Emmanuel to come. We long for Emmanuel to come. So right from the outset of this hymn, We long, we see this longing for Emmanuel to show up, to enter our world, to come to us. The hymn expresses it this way, like it's a longing, right? When we start seeing, you know, come, O come Emmanuel, you know there's something there because it's like, oh, come. It's like the misery of, you almost feel like there's misery going on and there's people just crying out for mercy. Oh, come, Emmanuel. So it's an invitation, come. I mean, think of what these Old Testament saints might have been mourning for in lonely exile. They were not near their homeland. That's what it means to be an exile, by the way, that our final destination is not where we're currently at. In the New Testament, Peter calls believers exiles, that our homeland's somewhere else, right? So we're living here as aliens and strangers in this world, and our destination somewhere else. So these Old Testament people were mourning in lonely exile. They weren't near their homeland. And you probably are aware of that in the Old Testament storyline, that there were two times the people were exiled. The northern tribes were exiled to Assyria, and the southern tribes were exiled to Babylon. And exile was a consequence of their disobedience. Earlier this year in the book of Deuteronomy, we saw in chapter 28, verses 58 to 64, God promised, if you're not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land you're entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other. And that's where these people found themselves, disobedient and distant, longing. Oh, come. Come, Emmanuel. Come be God with us. We are in a foreign land. They feel how far away they are from God. Their sin, their disobedience, their stubborn bent on going their own way have created a separation between God and them. And so we read a psalm like Psalm 137. What this mourning in exile looked like. Psalm 137 captured this. So by the rivers of Babylon, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept. When we remembered Zion, when we remembered the homeland, on the willows there we hung up our lyres. For there our captors required of us songs and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing to us one of the songs of Zion. Sing to us one of those songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I don't remember you, if I've not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. This is the kind of longing they had for that homeland, and they were distant. They were by the waters of Babylon. And they were, every day they woke up there, it was a reminder of how far off they were. How sinful, how disobedient, how much they needed God to come near. One writer commented on how it's not only those people who are in exile, but we all live in exile or captivity. I mean, just think about this. Like this writer says, we're captives of our own materialism. We're always trying to make comfort and recreation and stuff the goal of life. Or we're convicts to our tongues, so we keep gossiping, we keep lying, we keep slandering. We're hostages to our tempers. We know the right words to defuse the situation and the proper steps to avoid an argument, but we refuse to say or take them. We're con men. We talk a good game. We have everyone fooled. They have no idea what we're really like in our homes with our spouses and with our children. We're willing pawns. The devil is the grand chess master. He knows exactly what he needs to do to separate us from God's word, worship, and prayers. And we don't put up a fight. And this is where we are coming into Advent. This is where we are coming into the season. We're mourning in lonely exile. We're longing for him. God, rescue me from this sin. Rescue me from myself. Don't you have a longing for God to come near? I mean, even as I go through those things, you can probably say, well, that doesn't apply to me, but I know someone for whom it applies, or you might think, well, yeah, that's me exactly. And don't you just long for God to come and fix that? Don't you want him to change things? Well, that's what it means. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. So we long for God to come, and secondly, we long for him to come and rescue us from exile. We're needing his rescue. We're needing for him to come through. So all the estrangement that we have from God seems so powerful, and if the realities I just described in the first point are all true, and we're wrestling to be discontent with all this exile, then we need someone more powerful than these realities to rescue us, to ransom us. And that's what's expressed in the verse of the song, right? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. Now, of course, we know that the one who ransoms us is Jesus, our Lord. That's why I read Matthew 20 to you, Matthew 20, 28. In both of these passages, repeated in Mark chapter 10 as well, both are describing the scene of the disciples, especially it's kind of the mother of James and John vaunting them to a place of prominence. She wants them to be most impressive when Jesus comes in his kingdom. I mean, like most parents in the world today, right? We want our kids to be the most wicked, awesome people that the world has ever seen. So, we can identify with the wife of Zebedee here, you know, wanting her the best for her sons, and it led to a great teaching point that Jesus says it's not about the prominence, it's about serving, it's about being low, and specifically, it's pointing to why he came. He didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Like he's giving his life as the down payment that frees us from all the captivity that we're in. It's like a hostage situation. And we're wrapped up into this, and Jesus is saying, I'll give my life so they can be free. This is what Jesus has done for us. We are set free. Jesus came on a rescue mission to free people from themselves. So some of us, it's not even so much sin, it's just we're captive to ourselves. We can't break free from who we are. We think we're the greatest ever, and we have to die to that. Unless you're poor in spirit, you cannot have the kingdom of heaven. We have to get this relationship right with God. We're not greater than God is. So whether it's rescuing us from ourselves, whether it's rescuing us from sin or just the tyranny of the evil one, Jesus has come so that he could rescue his people from that, to ransom them from that, to free them, to spring them free. So the answer to all your longings is found in Jesus. He's the one you can look to. Now, Jesus is not Santa Claus. He's not like inviting you to crawl into his lap and tell him what you really want, and then he'll come through for you. You know how Santa Claus operates, right? Like if you do more good than bad, then you might get something. Jesus isn't like that at all. He freely distributes grace to everyone, whether or not they deserve it or not. And I know all the new Christmas movies have that plot line in it. Whatever. Okay. Jesus is more like the thoughtful grandma than he is like Santa Claus. Like Santa Claus, well, if you're good or bad, then I might get you this thing you really want. Jesus is like the thoughtful grandma that says, I know you need black socks, so I'm going to give you exactly what you need. And in this case, when it comes to all of our longings spiritually, he's giving us himself. He's saying, I'm going to come and give you the best thing you could possibly, you don't even know that you need this. I'm going to give you me. And in me, everything's going to change. And the song directs us in this second way. We're mourning in lonely exile here. We need him to come through. There's a desperation that comes in our condition when we come to see it as it is. And he alone can satisfy us. Our exile or our separation from him is a lonely exile that mourns in lonely exile here. I mean, it's lonely. We're all alone. There's no one that can help us. It's like we've searched the whole world trying to fix our problems and nothing seems to help. And we're directed, Jesus is the one who can help. He's the one who can rescue. He's the one who can satisfy us. So if you look deep down, you can see that Jesus isn't just about like surface level stuff. He's not saying, oh, when you come in here with a frown, I'm going to turn it upside down today. No, he's saying, I'm going to transform you from the inside out, and that's going to give you hope. I'm going to come through for you. So we need to be ransomed. We need someone to take our place in all of this mess. So with our sins before God, we need a representative who can achieve God's perfection for us. And further, even deeper than that, we need a way to even be forgiven. And all of this converges in Emmanuel, in God with us. When Jesus comes, that he was born and he lived the human life we all never could live, and he did this faithfully. And on top of this, on top of living perfectly, he gave his life as a ransom for many. He gave his life in the place of people like us. He offered the payment for sin on our behalf. It was Jesus being put to death in our place. So Emmanuel has come, and he offers us rescue from exile. Do you long for him? Do you want him to come? Well, the third longing is this rescue leads to the final longing, where we long for the Son to change us. We long for the Son to change us. So again, one more time on the verse. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. So we've talked about Emmanuel coming to ransom people who mourn in lonely exile, and this longing gets a face with this last line, right? Until the Son of God appear. That's who Emmanuel is, the Son of God. It's Jesus. So things change when he appears. So in that first century world, his appearance meant that all of God's promises now had clarity. It was like watching It's a Wonderful Life in black and white versus color. Or maybe not. Maybe that doesn't work for some of you. Now it has clarity. What seems fuzzy, like, okay, God's promised these things and that's great, like, so I can be forgiven. There could be someone who could come in my place. Now, when Emmanuel comes, when God with us is in our world, when Jesus shows up, now we have a face. This is what it looks like for everything to change. So his appearance meant that all of God's promises had clarity. They were fulfilled. So the angel actually told that to Joseph in Matthew 1, that his son would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. He would come to ransom us. This mission also fulfilled what the prophet said, that the virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Or think of the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, right? They're keeping watch. How did their lives change after this announcement came? After they saw all the things that they'd been told, after they saw and heard all the things that they'd been told that happened just as the angel told them. And so begins the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. All of this culminated then, all of his coming actually changed things. He came to save people, and he came to revolutionize and change people's lives. And all of this culminated in his ultimate work, like we just celebrated this morning, to change us, his death and resurrection. And we keep taking this until he returns, and now we long for him to return. So in 1 Corinthians 15, this is another passage we dug into this year, we saw the change that the Son will bring. So in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50, here's what Paul writes to this church and says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But behold, look at this, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be, he wants us to get it again, we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when this all happens, then shall come to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes, it changes everything. And so we, even as we anticipate his coming again, we have confidence that this will not be the end. Like, we're not just going to take our last breath and be put in the ground and, well, that was a good run. No, we will be with him forever. So the Son of God did appear, and this changed everything. But our destiny isn't just merely living in the here and now. Our destiny is eternal, life eternal. So thank God that we have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. We long for the Son to change us. And that's going to ultimately be accomplished through him. We're still works in progress right now. He's still changing us. So today you might be here and you might have had an experience with church that was less than glorious. And it was, I mean, you just might think about church and think, man, do you know the horrible things that are happening in the case of the church? Yeah, I'm well aware of how messed up church people are. It's my life. But I also know that the Bible nowhere teaches that we're like to expect perfection this side of heaven. That's why Jesus came. That's why we took this Lord's Supper today. Not because we're a bunch of wicked awesome people, but because Jesus is wicked awesome. Jesus is the one who's done this. He's the one who's affected all this change. He is the one who came. And because he came, he ransomed me. And because he came and did that perfectly, I'm anticipating him coming again and I will be changed forever. That's the hope. That's the hope. So just look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And in light of that, then, this Advent season is one that we can rejoice in. Emmanuel will come and accomplish what he intends to do. He will have the final word. And it's so good. We have the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I mean, it's so easy to walk around in this day and age and think, just one defeat after another. I mean, even in our own lives, right? I don't know what kind of year you've had, but I know we all giggled last week when my oldest asked me at the Thanksgiving meal, like, what are you thankful for this year, Pastor Phil? And God has been so faithful, hasn't he? I mean, as you look back on your lives, don't you see that God has changed things? Like, my family had 5 surgeries last year. That's a lot of out-of-pocket money that was maxed. Praise God for insurance. But God came through, and he's cared for us, and we haven't lost our faith. We're still looking to him, saying, strengthen us, you know, be our hope, you know. And that's just physical stuff. That's not even talking about all the spiritual stuff and all the challenges emotionally and, you know, for someone who hasn't taken much time off in his entire life to be watching movies all summer from a chair. I mean, it was weird. But God's faithful. And God will be faithful. He will have the final word. We can rejoice because of all that Emmanuel has come and done and all that Emmanuel will come again and do. We have great hope in him. So today, we've seen these 3 longings for Advent. We long for Emmanuel to come. We long for rescue from exile. And we long for the Son to change us. Back in the introduction, I asked what your longings were. Have they been changed through this sermon? Have they been altered? Maybe you have a different way of seeing that now at the end. And maybe as we finish, what hopes of yours seem elusive? I mean, what longings do you have? What hopes do you have? And you're thinking, this is like a pipe dream. There's no way this can happen. How might they be satisfied in Jesus? What might he be able to come and do? What kind of change could he affect? The fact that God is with us, what difference would that make? So Jesus has come to rescue sinners like you and me. I mean, he is in the full-time work of changing people. That's such good news, like, because I need changed. You need changed, and he's up to this task. So look to him and find him satisfying for all that you need. And what would it look like for you as a believer to nurture this longing for Jesus like for the next 4 weeks. So for the next 4 weeks, you're just nurturing a longing for him. I mean, we're going to sing that hymn probably at some point. You're going to hear it played, you know, Noel, 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 Noel. Born is the King of Israel. Born is the one that we're longing for in this song. Emmanuel is set apart. God with us is set apart. Jesus is set apart in his rule and reign in your life. So would you look to him just for these upcoming weeks? Would you long for him? And as you hear these carols and Christmas songs sung, rise above it to see, okay, God, would you do this thing in our world? Because only you can do this thing in our world. You know, let's, all the misplaced hopes and all the misdirections we have, could you just center on Jesus and look to him? I mean, born his people to deliver, born to set them free, born to reign in us forever, might his gracious kingdom bring. I mean, don't you long for that? Don't you just want to see him flex his arm and just extend the reign a little bit on this earth? Long for that? You think he's capable of that? I mean, he can do it. He can do it. Let's fight against the teeny weeny thoughts of Jesus to see that Emmanuel has come. He is near us. He is the joy of every longing heart. And because he's come, we have great hope. So let's center on Jesus that we might know him and make him known to others.